When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to yet another episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free Podcast. Welcome, one, and welcome all. It is 2024, of course. Shira, when is it too late for a happy new year? Like,
it's never too late.
So February, if I see you in February, I can happy new year you.
Listen, if this is my first time seeing you for the year, then I'm saying happy new year.
No, I think it stops at about the 15th. So.
Okay, so that gives you a little bit more time. Right. So you're not feeling self-conscious. Happy new year, everyone.
Happy new year. Many of you are probably aware, we're having a cold front over the U.S. right about now, Shire. But we're in Cali, so today's nice, but
we got a little rain yesterday.
Some rain and cold, though, Shire, don't you think?
It's been cold, but see, cold for Californians is different.
Yes.
Than maybe cold in Chicago or somewhere else. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, if it's 50 degrees outside, we got puff jackets on, you know, scarves, but...
Yeah, that's true.
It's all relative.
Yeah, it's all relative. One thing I did realize, Shar, is like I don't have like a winter jacket. I need to get one. I don't have one.
Let's go get you one.
Yeah, I need to get me a little something. A little something.
I said let's. You go get you one.
Right. Well, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics today, Shar. We're going to talk about just some different things. But one thing I realized, and we're definitely going to be...
Now, this is just our opinion.
We're going to have some opinions on this episode. We're going to talk about some current events along with some financial content as well. But one thing I was realizing, Shire, while we were trying to figure out what to talk about, it's kind of hard, right? Because, well, Shire said everybody's algorithm is different. But I think on all of our algorithms has been this whole Cat Williams thing.
Oh, yes.
And so it's just like... I heard some finance folks talking about how can we get the engagement that, like, you know, mess gets or
Marcus. People,
no, but Shire, right now, the new thing is to go on a platform, someone's platform, your own platform, and just unload the clip with talking about who you don't like, who you ain't messing with. Who get on your nerve? Like right now, that's like super trendy, and those type of conversations seem to be getting all of folks' attention. So how could us or folks like us that's talking about, hey, you know, you want to get your money better, want to be smart with your money? How could we get eyeballs in a world where it seems like, hey man, I'm only here for some mess.
Well,
what do you think?
Listen, I think that you could have watched the Shannon Sharp and Cat Williams interview and you can still be a financially responsible person.
Okay.
Now, I haven't seen the whole interview. I watched some of it and I was like, wait, what he say? And then I had to rewind it and go back to the beginning. Yes. I've gone back to the beginning like three times. I still haven't made my way through that interview, but and I don't know that I will.
Right.
But I think that both can exist at the same time. I think that when we're so just focused on money, 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 that's not necessarily a good thing either.
Too.
You have to have balance. And some people unwind and might listen to that content to unwind. I'm not saying that it's the most positive.
Right.
But I think that you can still be. Now, but to your question, how can we like uplift this for the masses? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that people are drawn to this content for different reasons.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, hey, I have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to get my finances in order. I'm going to be more responsible. or, you know, hey, I'm going through a crisis. I'm coming out of a crisis and I've made some goals. Or maybe you just kind of grew up knowing about money, financial literacy, and it's just a part of your normal routine, you know? So I think that we are drawn to certain things for certain reasons. But there's always going to be space, what you call it, the mess. There's always going to be space for that on the internet.
Yes.
It thrives on that, and that's just how it is.
Well, what do you think about this, Shire? Because the fact that there's opportunity in messy topics for multiple parties to have opinions, do you think that drives it? Whereas content where it's just math, like 1 + 1 = 1, it doesn't leave the same room for engagement that messy topics or even relationship topics leave room for conversation, which kind of like feeds the beast. But with like finance or, you know, topics where you're teaching someone something or sharing information, it's kind of like, okay. And like, it just dies there. There's no continual conversation around it. You think that has a play there?
Well, I think the engagement comes in when you're telling a story.
Mm.
It can be your story.
Okay.
And I think that that happens a lot in the mess. Like, right, they say, what's the tea, right? There's a story behind it. You're talking about that Cat Williams interview. What I learned from that interview is just keep his name out your mouth. Like, don't speak on him. But the same way in finance, you know, one of the popular radio shows, of course, Dave Ramsey, is really fueled by stories and people calling in, giving their situations. And I think that that sparks engagement. And that's what people want to hear. You know, if I'm calling a dating show, I'm telling you, you know, the perfect person that I would I would like. And you're really giving us a story of kind of like your fantasy. But anyway, or what you want to be your reality. Let me rephrase. But I think that is the stories that will draw you in, right?
I think that's a great assessment, Shire. Wow, I'm just kind of like thinking while you're saying that. Yeah, you're right. Everything is really, really story-based. Because with stories, you could be like, is he lying? You know.
Is this true?
Yeah, is this true? What do I think about the story?
Oh, then so, you got to fact check it.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like this space is really changing. I saw a TikToker. You know, he had a lot of followers, and, you know, they had those little TikToks where they give you tips on how to make your content bigger and stuff. But she was saying, like, the list things in 2024, the algorithms on all your social media platforms don't really like lists. They don't like finite information. They like stories, like you're saying, or they like
the visuals.
They like stuff that's open-ended. Don't just tell me, do this, you know, whereas, because we've been doing this for a long time. When we started, lists was everything.
And lists were good. You know, when I made a list, I really sat down and I thought about that list. Mm-hmm, but now, I mean, you can go into
GPT.
Okay. And you can ask for a list. And I think we did a podcast where we asked GPT. I'm getting the letters all mixed up, as you know that I do. Like, okay, how do I, give me the steps to become a millionaire.
Yeah.
And then like we did a podcast on it. So I think that, I don't know. When we were posting on Instagram, cause we don't really post, I haven't posted on Instagram in a long time. The still content was popping, but now it's like you need reels or whatever is popular now. You need that live video content.
You do.
But it's going to evolve, right? And if you're going to reach the masses, you have to be open to evolution. You have to evolve. You have to grow. Sometimes you get used to a list like me. Okay, I'm going to make a list. I can make 100 lists, you know. But you have to step out of your comfort zone sometimes to grow.
Yeah. And I think, Shire, with stories, people can see themselves in it too.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you just tell me 2 + 2 = 4, that I can't do nothing with that, like, except like say, yeah, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, the story piece is big, and you're seeing that. Now, speaking of stories, Chara, we got to talk about this story. We touched this. On it on our opinion podcast that we did. We got to revisit those. But we touched on the Jonathan Majors story. Uh-oh. We followed it. Now we have to conclude it because it's come to a close with him being found guilty on 2 of the 4 charges. Essentially, the jury found that he was guilty of injuring her, but it was unintentional, right? Okay. It was through a script and scrap of trying to fight for the phone that he injured her. What do you think about everything? And I really want to get what you thought about his interview that you finally watched. People want to know, Shire. They've been following us.
When I first heard it, I think when we talked about it initially, I was just, you know, I believed in his innocence. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I wanted to believe in.
Now, this is just our opinion.
Now I don't have an opinion necessarily. I know you just played that sound bite, right?
We need an opinion. Right?
Okay.
That's what we're here
I just
for.
Think that more so than an opinion, it's a lesson. To choose.
It's definitely a lesson, my friend.
To choose who you're dating, mm-hmm. you have to choose wisely.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we in our society believe mm-hmm. that our phone is an extension of us. So if you put your hands on someone's phone, it's almost like you put your hands on them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think, like, even in our relationship, I don't grab your phone. I don't.
We don't.
Touch
we don't
your
do
phone.
That.
I don't go through your phone.
Yeah.
I was going to say I don't know the password, but I do know the password on your phone. But I just don't do that.
You've never been a sneaky person like that, Shia.
Sneaky? I mean, I think that if you don't have trust, what do you have?
Right.
I don't have a need to do that. Yeah. And if you are, look, if you were a celebrity, it comes with a territory.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People are going to be in their DMs, but you have to be solid in whatever it is that you have.
Yeah.
But anywho, I was just saying that we don't, in our relationship, we don't do the phone thing.
Right.
Maybe in other people's relationships, they do that. It's like, you go through my phone, I can go through your phone. Whatever you do is fine. But we just don't do that here.
Right.
But, you know, I just think there's a lesson. You need to be thoughtful in who you are choosing to link up with. Mm-hmm. I did watch the interview. We watched it. Well, you had already seen it, but... Yeah. We watched it yesterday. Y'all was raining. So I'm like, okay, let's just get caught up on what's been going on.
What do you think, Shia?
The interview, I guess, you know, he just wanted to tell his side of the story. Mm-hmm. And if that's what he felt he needed to do, then.
Was he convincing? Do you have a opinion on if he's guilty or not guilty? I do want to get that from you.
I'm just surprised that this went to trial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that all of this transpired, you know.
Escalated quickly, as they say.
You know, but there was a lot on the line for this young man, and he lost a lot.
Yeah. Marvel dropped him. Disney dropped him an hour after the ruling.
And I hope that he's able to recover.
Me too.
And
everybody deserves a second chance. I mean, not everybody, but 95% of people.
No, I believe in second chances. I believe in grace and forgiveness and all of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, wow, he had a lot of great things on the horizon, you know, and he shared in the interview, you know, I'm grateful that I was able. I mean, this is not a quote, but he basically said, I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to do the things that I was able to do with Disney. But I send best wishes to him. You know, we go through life and we're going to learn and we're going to grow.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a lesson for him and it's a lesson for all of us. You know, choose your spouse wisely and work towards having a healthy relationship.
Yes.
You know, in that interview, there were recordings where, you know, he's being recorded in conversations and I know what he said was controversial, but it's such a violation of trust to record people without their knowing.
Right.
In my opinion.
I agree. I totally agree. That's crazy.
And so the relationship just seemed really unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah, Shire, my takeaway was very similar. You know, a lot of people were saying like, man, he was, the interview didn't do him any favors. It seemed like he was in a character. It seemed like he was playing a role of a gentleman that was accused of what he was accused of. And it was like, he was just acting. He was reading a script, but he was excellent with it. It's not like he just seemed like he was in one of his roles, maybe his best role yet.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I don't.
But we don't
when
really
you
know
see
him.
Some, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
That could be how he is.
Mm-hmm. When you see someone on screen, you kind of have an idea of how they talk and how they, you know, but when you see them on screen, that is when they're playing a character.
Yes.
So I don't know him in real life, obviously, and I haven't seen him in enough interviews to know if this one is different than anything that he's done in the past.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, when you're going on a big interview, I do think some of your responses are scripted. You know, his team may have presented, these are the questions that you can ask, these are the questions that you can't ask, or he may have been prepped. It's just like, you know, if we're doing an interview, there are times when we receive questions in advance, but then there's other times when we don't. Mm. So, you know, if it felt scripted, I think that when you have a lot riding on an interview, some of it probably is scripted. Now, I can tell you an interview that probably wasn't scripted, and that was that R. Kelly interview.
Oh, the R. Kelly one wasn't
that
scripted?
Did not feel as scripted at all.
Cat Williams wasn't scripted?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you don't have a script, sometimes, you know, hey, they say loose lips sink ships, you know? Yeah. So I think that, you know, if you practice and you can be poised and composed and really get your message across.
Right. I just think he's got to count his losses and move on. I'm hearing he wants to appeal. He needs to take whatever the court gives as punishment and literally just move on. Like, don't speak on it no more. We just need to move on. Like, so many other actors that have had, like, infractions in life, even athletes, and we just kind of, like, just be great after that, and you'll put that as far in the rearview mirror as you can. But I think...
Yeah, well... You know, that's really interesting. And that I would definitely seek legal counsel, because I think in the court of public opinion, I mean, the verdict of the public has already, you know, been said. You know, there, a lot of people have their own opinions, and those opinions have been formulated. Now, the sentencing is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so... while he's doing interviews, he's still not out of the water. Yeah. And we still do not know the final outcome.
Yeah.
I do wish him the best. I'm not saying don't appeal, you know, because I don't know. I'm not a legal person. Mm-hmm. But I do hear what you're saying. It's kind of like, you know what? This was the outcome. Cut your losses and let's move on. But when that sentencing comes, we don't really know.
We don't know.
We don't know. It's not over.
Yep.
But I do wish him the best of luck, and to everyone involved in this situation, and the young lady he was with, that she gets the help that she needs, because everyone needs assistance and healing and all of that based off that interview.
Absolutely, Shire. Well, Shire, I saw this on TikTok. You sent me this. I wanted to just...
What I say to you?
Just talk about it. I know we are sending each other stuff. Now, I don't know the accuracy of this, but I thought it was interesting. I just want to get your opinion on the average income by ethnicity.
Oh, Lord.
So, according to this TikToker, the average income, fifth.
Was it average or median?
Average income by ethnicity. And then, then he breaks it down as median. You're right. So median income, he has number five, Pakistani Americans at $66,000 a year. Number four, Chinese Americans at $69,000 a year, median income. Number three, Japanese Americans at $72,000 median income. Number two, Taiwanese Americans at $82,000 a year, median income. And number one, Indian Americans, $100,000 a year. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's somewhat accurate using your gut, using the information you have? What do you think? I know what I didn't see on this list, and it's the two people that have been on the in the United States the longest, whites and blacks. I didn't see them on this list.
Oh, anywhere. On that one? they were on the list. I don't know. You know, this is a thing when you... well, the reason why we brought this up was because the comments had such interesting conversations. The comments were
mad interesting.
But as far as you said average... In averages, you're looking at what? The individual that makes the most money and the individuals that make the least amount and... You know, you're getting the average.
Yes.
And I think the median is kind of like...
They take the middle number.
The middle number. Yes. So they're not the same.
They're not the same.
And then also with these...
I do have numbers 10 through 6 if you want me to do those two. So that was 5-1. I can go...
Oh, you did the top... Oh, the top 5.
I did the top 5.
Okay, no.
You want me to do 10 through 6?
Sure, sure. I mean...
Okay, number 10.
Wait. You did. You started from the top and you went to 5?
I went from 5-1.
Oh, so you just all over. So I'm all over the place.
Okay. So now let's go from 10 down to 6. So we did 5-1. Now we're going 10-6. Number 10, African Americans, median income, $35,000.
Okay, let's stop there.
Okay.
So I'm wondering where the person got their data from, because if I go to the Census Bureau, hopefully I'm saying that right. Y'all know, got a little country accent. It's a little bit higher if we're looking at household income versus individual. But anywho, okay, continue.
Got you. We're just talking about just this. And like I said on the front end, I'm not going to say how accurate this is. I just want your knee-jerk thoughts on it.
Okay.
Number 9 is Hispanic Americans, $43,000 median income. Number 8, Nepali Americans. And, okay, I just lost the TikTok, so I don't know what the next, what 8 and 9 was. Let me go back and see again. But anyway, what's your thoughts on the information we have thus far?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't see the point of these type of posts.
Right.
But that's fine. I'm looking at median household income, I think is more reflective of people's living situation. And so, you know, on that, I think it, for black folks, it was in like 35,000 range. And that's not accurate of the median household income for blacks in this country.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Shire. While the numbers may be off, do we agree on the ranking of it, or like the new, us being behind? Are we at the end of the line, regardless of whatever the number is? Is our median income at the end of the line on whatever metrics we use? That's what we want to get to.
You know, I would go off the census and
what does the census tell us, baby?
Well, the census doesn't break it down for each, you know, because they were diving deeply into some of the subgroups for. Mm-hmm. Asians, that's what we were hearing.
Yeah.
And so anywho, but yeah, generally you'll see in a general term, I'll say that's right, but I will say the numbers are off.
yes.
Just by looking at what I'm seeing on my end.
Well, the reason why we broached that, let's go to the comment section of this, right? Because like I said before, when you do something that's like for opinion, or kind of like, I don't know if that's true or right, then you're going to have people in the comments getting busy, right? So I thought this was interesting. The Indian American was number 1 for income. And so we go to the comments here, and we have some Indian Americans that bring up an interesting conversation about tipping.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thoughts on tipping? Per this gentleman, he's saying, we're not big on tipping. What are your thoughts on black folks and tipping? Let's just speak to what we are. All we can speak is to us.
You know, that's so interesting that tipping became like a dominant conversation.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, maybe it could tie to income because I feel that, well, number one, I'll say tipping is a very personal thing and that you'll meet people who tip and then there's a wave of folks who don't tip. Don't tip. I will say that I tip, we tip when we go out.
We tip.
And that's just part of the cost of going out.
Right.
I think.
Yes.
Now, as far as the person who is in the comments, they are presenting themselves as being, you know, an Indian American. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously, I'm black, as we all know. So mm-hmm. I don't have that that lived experience.
Right.
But at the same time, I kind of respect that energy. You know, there's sometimes that, you know.
The service ain't all that. And then keep your money in your pocket.
Well, there are some, that. And sometimes, you know, they ask for a tip before providing the service. So if I'm ordering food online, I do like to tip.
Yeah.
But usually I think that the tip is something extra that I want to provide to you because you have given excellent service.
Got you.
So in a perfect world, I would pay for the food online. And if I pick it up, you know, and if I choose a tip, I would give you a tip then. After the services have been rendered, then I will tip accordingly.
Yes.
Versus having a tip on the front end. But then if I don't tip, I'm like, dang, are they going to see I didn't tip? Are they going to, I'm not going to get as much chicken this time. Like, there's just so much stuff that's running through my mind.
And that's where I was going, child. I was like, I feel like tipping now is just a safeguard against having your food spit in. And I mean, when they ask on the front end or when they ask during checkout, 18%, 20%, 22% or other, the dudes is looking right at my hand.
But
like, what you fixing?
Is this before or after you've gotten your food?
This is before. This is when I'm ordering the food now. And so I just think it's getting out of hand, but you almost have to tip or they're going to go back there and drop
your
food.
That's not true, though. That's not true.
I mean, that's what my brain is telling me.
I don't know where we got that from. Maybe we watched too many TV shows.
Nightmare, even on Hell's those Kitchen.
Even on those TV shows, we've never seen anyone spit in the food. Hey. I've worked at fast food. I've never seen anyone spit in food.
Do we want to trade food service stories? Because I got them for you. Working at Domino's.
Marcus, we would drop the pizza on the ground. Look at me. Hold on now. Let's clarify. Did you do it? Well, don't answer that question.
I'll just say I've seen pizzas fall on the ground face down.
This is 20 years ago, right?
Over 20 years ago. Pizza fall on the ground face down. You scoop it up, throw some extra cheese, and run it back through the oven.
But that's not what you were taught to do.
I saw my manager do it.
Okay, well that.
So I'm just telling you. And that's at just a little rinky-dink pizza place, so just bless y'all's food before you eat it. But anyway.
No, eat at home.
Eat at home.
No,
but
okay.
Back to tipping, child. What do you think about the tipping at like a Starbucks or places where it's like, bro, you're not doing that much service?
Listen, I went to Starbucks the other day, and the person pronounced my name correctly after I spelled it out, and I was like, sis, you getting a tip, okay? You getting a tip.
Okay, all right, all right.
Go ahead. There you go.
I was going to say, is tipping, this is what we want to just bring these stories, two stories together. Is tipping or
cheapness
connected in any way to a higher net worth or a higher household income? Do you think that has something to do with it? A lot of times I go on rants on the quick cast, and I know our listeners probably tired of hearing me. I go on the keep your money in your pocket rant. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When I'm like telling you, you need to be stingy. You need to stop giving everything just because it's a black business and I need to or I need to get this course or stop giving everybody your money. I go on my rant. Y'all know how I do. But is being cheap connected or correlate in some way to having a higher net worth, in your opinion?
Net worth. But see, what we were discussing, you started a conversation off with income.
Income,
you
whatever.
Have income, and then what you do with that income is one thing. But your net worth is what you're able to hang on to,
gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
You know? So is there a connection? Probably. I think, you know, I can't speak for everyone. But I think that that sometimes, you know, black people will give you the coat off our back. We'll give you
shirt off our back.
We'll give you our last, man. You know, and
that's facts.
You know, sometimes if you don't have it, you just have to be honest with yourself and say, I don't have it. But this whole rant that you were just talking about, mm-hmm. being stingy, keep your money in your pocket, I don't like to be that way because I feel that you can't receive with a closed fist. Like, I'm really, excuse me, Marcus is making faces right now. Shara
has a more giving heart,
for
sure. I
am walking into a new era in my life where I don't want a penny pinch in that way. Mm-hmm. And if I tip or give, I don't want to think too deeply about it. I just want that to be who I am. I want to be more of a giving person.
That's wonderful. Like, no, I think
Marcus
that's good.
Is just like, no, whatever.
No, I think that's good, and I need a little more of that.
We bounce. I mean, think you're giving you, too.
Yeah, and I think that's why we bounce each other out, because you need maybe some rein, pulling back of the reins on giving sometimes, mm-hmm. and sometimes I need to be like a little more less close fisted. So I think that's good, but. Yeah.
But it is true. Like, when we go out, you don't see certain cultures eating out as much going to the mall as much. And, you know, we live in a very
We got a mall. We got everything out here.
Diverse area, everything. You know. I mean, in Sacramento.
This might be the most diverse place in the nation.
Well, as y'all might have heard in that Cat Williams interview, mm-hmm. when he shouted out Sacramento.
Yeah, he took the T out.
Sacramento. You know. It is very diverse here.
Yes.
And, you know, you meet people from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. And when you out, you know, hey, you say, you know, I'm eating at this restaurant and there's some groups that we don't see. We don't see, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of multi-generational families,
yes.
In our community, and they live together, and some of the houses are just huge, but it's not like a family of four.
Right.
It's like a family of eight or 10.
Right.
And if you have that type of dynamic, you're probably more likely to eat at home. Mm-hmm. If you have multi-generational household and say you work, there's probably someone at home that is,
yes.
you know, doing things to take care of home.
And eating at home saving
money. Eating at home and saving money. So
sure.
that's going to add to, you know, having more money in your pocket. Mm-hmm. But culturally, what the person said, because I read that comment, mm-hmm. they said that, you know, tipping is not part of our culture.
Yeah.
And so that's when it's just like, oh, okay. Well, oh, okay. I mean, if that's maybe it needs to be part of mine. No.
Thank you.
But anywho, I mean, tipping does become... I don't know. Sometimes you get in your head about it, but yeah. I do try to do it.
Yeah. Well, I want to know what y'all do. Are y'all big tippers, or are you all no tippers? And let us know. And let us know why. We want to know why. where you pull that from. But Shire, this was a cool episode. I think we'll touch on the housing market and what that means for the recession, maybe on a next week's episode, because I'll tease it a little bit. The Fed is projecting 6 interest rate cuts this year. And
really?
Yeah, yeah. But what that means is, a lot of times when they're projecting cuts, they know that a recession is coming, and they have they're privy to information, obviously, that the average person may not be privy to. And if you look at all of the charts, the cut precedes a recession. So, or some type of recession-like event, right? You could say the pandemic technically wasn't a recession, but it sent shockwaves through the economy, and they were cutting rates preceding or during COVID. So something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I'm not seeing 3, but I do see an article coming out of PBS News Hour, and then maybe I'll touch on it more, but mm-hmm. it's this is from December, so relatively recent. Federal Reserve keeps key interest rate unchanged and foresees 3 rate cuts
three.
Next
okay.
year.
Three.
So
my bad.
At least, you know, that could definitely be good news for
good
people
news
that
for
are looking to buy a house.
Yeah.
I don't know how you know, what will happen with the prices of houses, mm-hmm. but having a lower interest rate is such a huge benefit, you know, when it's time to make that investment.
They were saying that there are people at open houses 30 deep in December.
Wow.
Because the rates
had dipped
a little bit. Yeah. So people are itching to buy. And with the cuts coming, man, that's going to be, it's going to be lit. It's going to be lit.
I know.
We're definitely going to keep an eye on that. And we're going to keep talking about that because that's been like a thread through our podcast for the past couple years. It's the interest. And
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I am looking forward to interest rates coming down because mm-hmm. high interest rates really just kind of knocked us out of the conversation about, you know, looking at investment properties. But
with it coming down,
hey,
might be lit. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, guys and gals, that is. And if you did, do us a huge favor, y'all. Now, I'm going to stay here for a moment. I'm gonna massage this for a few minutes. If you listen to the Black Married and Dead Free podcast, this is a free thing, you know. But one way you can bless us is to go on your phone or on your computer, wherever you listen, and leave us a 5-star review. Now, all you have to do is say a few words. You could just say good podcast or I like or whatever. But you want to leave us a 5-star review because what that does is it makes our show more visible via the algorithm and will show up on more folks' phones. If this is something you like, don't you want others to like it too? I mean,
you're so funny.
So do that favor for us going into the new year. Leave us a 5-star review if you haven't already. And sure, I got nothing else.
And thank you to those who have.
Yes, thank you to all of y'all who already have done that. The several hundred of you that have, thank you. Well, we can get them numbers up. I know we can do this. Well, that's all we got for today. Till next time, we out. Peace.
Bye.